Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first 9 verses, on divisions in the church. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Or when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
This passage is indeed about divisions in the church. But if you really think about it, divisions in the church, in this case especially, the underlying cause is spiritual maturity, or in this case, a lack of spiritual maturity. And that's where Paul is going at, or that's the angle that Paul is taking with his Corinthian congregation, to show them that you have to grow up as part of being a disciple. And so, in terms of to take a leaf out of Paul's book, what I'd like to do this morning is to approach this text in terms of parenthood. Raising apostles, if you will. And I can say with complete candor and complete honesty that I've learned a lot of things from God over the years in a lot of different situations. But I think the most profound lessons I've learned spiritually have only come since I become a parent. And I think that all of us who have raised children can find some identification with that point. Because after all, well, as a parent, you know, before I was a parent, I think I didn't truly understand God's grace at the ground level. It wasn't before I had children that I understood at a heart level Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I mean that in all seriousness. I mean, who ever would have thought that somebody that small could push every hot button you have and then find a couple more you didn't even know about. And still in the heights of, you don't want to spank them, but you do want to send them to Antarctica till they're 30 or something. And your faith gently taps you on the shoulder and says, hold on, nothing personal, strictly business. They did all these things, but they really don't understand what they're doing. We can all identify in some way with that. And even if you're somebody who doesn't have children, you've probably seen this at play somewhere in your life. Maybe it's in young relatives of yours, or maybe it's in friends, but you've seen this somewhere. And this is the kind of experience that the Apostle Paul is having with his church. They're fighting and squabbling. They are taking sides. They're more worried about looking good than doing good. I mean, there's a pretty good list here. And Paul's discovered, just like any parent, that caring for a young, sometimes needy life is not for sissies. It's something that requires patience, something that requires persistence and perseverance. And it's something that very often requires you to reach within yourself for resources that you never knew that you had. And you and I, in this day and age, are in the same business of raising apostles. We're the ones who are carrying this message on. And there's always the potential for the things that Paul was challenged by. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if there were multitudes of women over the last couple millennia who have read the words of Apostle Paul and all of these things about children, and as mothers, they've said, "Hey, bud, welcome to the club." And sometimes within the church, when we're going about our growth spiritually, there are some of us who have seen things before, and it's completely new to somebody else, and they say to us, "Welcome to the club. It's all part of the package." And in the end, all of the challenges are worth it. So parenthood, whether that be children that we are raising as a parent, or parenthood in the spiritual sense where we are someone who is discipling another to become an apostle, it's a sacred calling. So other than expressing my appreciation for parents this morning, I also want to express my appreciation for those who teach spiritually. Sunday school teachers and counselors and advisors and spiritual directors and all the folks who do this, because it's not at all easy. And, you know, they go through a lot so that we can all grow up. And so above all, we give thanks for those with this gift who are using this gift. Now, in Corinth, it was an interesting situation, because not only did we have a young church here, they were still learning about being a church, they also were living in a town that had all sorts of competition. There are the various pagan religions which were implanted in Corinth, and so there were competing faith claims. And so the young Christians in the Corinthian church would look around and they would see how these places did business, and you know they'd see people taking sides or following one person over the other because somebody else was maybe more charismatic or more convincing. And so they instinctively mirrored this kind of stuff within their own church. And so the challenge that Paul has when he's trying to teach them about this is he's trying to say, no, look. This is not about one person over another, because it's God who's doing these things. When Paul has written about Apollos watering and Paul planting seeds, he planting seeds, it was God who made those things grow. And the point being therein that he's trying to teach his spiritual children is that everybody has their gifts, and nobody's better than anybody else. It's just that we're different. And we're all working together to accomplish God's work with our different gifts. The way that he's having to approach this, though, is to go back to the basics of the faith time and time again. Going back to the foundational articles, you might say. And here's another point of identification that I think we can all identify with, or as parents as otherwise. I mean, as preachers, and I'm not the only one, as preachers sometimes You know, we'd like to skip the Good Samaritan and the women at the well and move on to some other stuff that uses bigger words and requires better graphics. But you see, the other side of that is that there may be somebody sitting in a pew this morning who's been struggling with Good Samaritans and women at the well for years, and all of a sudden God touches you, and you have clarity that you never ever had before, and it's like a whole new door to a different world opened up. And that's why we always remember to tell the basics of the stories, because not everybody's in the same place. Children don't grow up at different rates. I mean, if you're a Sunday school teacher, wouldn't it sometimes be more enjoyable if you could get beyond Abraham and Moses and Brother Noah? Maybe get into something a little more challenging, like Elijah being fed by ravens in the wilderness, or the courage of Rahab the prostitute? But there's always people that need to know about Abraham and Noah and Moses. Because we all grow at different rates. Sometimes we have to nurture with milk because they're not ready for meat yet. And it's all part of raising apostles. And we can see Paul's parental aspect in the midst of all of this. Because the tone that he's taking with the Corinthians is very gentle and fatherlike. He isn't taking him to task for being stupid or arrogant or whatever else. He goes back to the beginning and teach again. And if you want to see a contrast to this, go to the book of Galatians and see how Paul spoke to the Galatians. There's quite a difference. After greetings in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he takes a deep breath, and the first thing out of his mouth is, "You foolish Galatians." But here it's different. Here we have a gentle touch that's guiding and nurturing and building up. Paul's showing the marks of the true apostle. He's teaching the people where they are. He's letting them be where they are and who they are, and he's letting them be at the point of growth that they are without trying to make them something that they aren't. And the same goes for us as we go about our work. I mean, in the church, we have plenty of young spirits that we're trying to raise up into apostlehood. We've got students in confirmation. We've got students in Sunday school. And I hate to say it, but those are the easy ones. We've got them here. What about the young rebels that you meet at the mall? What about the loud people at football games who only seem to know God's name in reference to something other than the church? How is it that we'll touch those spiritual infants with the foundations of the faith so that they can get nurture and nourishment and become more like God would have them be? We're raising them too. Because that's another mark of the apostle. It's not just inward focus. It's also looking outward so that you can see what's around you and where you should go and what you should do. And whether those spiritual children are in our building, whether they are outside of our building, as parents, we want them to do their best. We want them to be at their best. We want them to be mature. And we want them to be independent. And when they go out to be independent, we want them to not be at rivalry with one another. We want them to have some unity of faith with each other. And this isn't to say that they're moving in lockstep. I mean, we wouldn't be unique if we did that. But that everybody's agreed that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for the forgiveness of our sins, and the fruits of that grace within us is helping others to learn that foundation. We want our spiritual children to go forth, be not so concerned about status, and being willing to serve together. We don't want them to be bogged down and worrying about their troubles. We don't want them to lose sight of the brightness of God's light before them. And so we raise them the best that we can. We give them the basics. And when they're ready, we can start feeding them the tougher stuff. But this is truly a scripture passage that has something for everyone. Because one way or another, we are all raising apostles. And we, the church, are given this sacred job. And it's our joy to do this. So however it is that God has called you to serve by influencing a younger spiritual life, I pray that those blessings from God would pour upon you. And while you're going about your parenting, I pray that you would have the patience of heaven and the perseverance of the saints and whatever else you need to share these gifts. It's what makes the church not only live, it's what makes the church grow. So go now and raise the apostles. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for the spiritual parents that you have given us. And Lord, sometimes we've known about these parents because they have been so close to us. And others we only became aware of after we had grown. And whichever they may be, Lord, here are thanks for them. And we pray, Father, that you would help us be like those teachers so that the apostles that we are raising would also know the joys of being your children, and to be filled with the desire and the fire to go forth and raise yet more apostles. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.